The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life, a life savings company for your journey to and through retirement.
This is News Talk.
132 days, I think, in total in space, during which he repaired chunks of the International Space Station, as you do. He completed, I think, the 100th human space walk and has been a multiple mission astronaut. He is in Ireland as part of Space Week. He's on the programme this morning. Dan Taney, good morning.
Good morning.
Dan, I'm intrigued by your route to become an astronaut, because one thinks that the way you become an astronaut is you join the Air Force, you get to be a test pilot, you spend a long time crashing things in the Mojave Desert, and then they give you a space shuttle. This wasn't your journey.
Yeah, no, that used to be the journey back in the Apollo days. And when they created the space shuttle, they had a whole new set of skills that were needed. And that wasn't just to fly the spacecraft. But it was to do mission stuff. And so, when they started the space shuttle program, and now certainly in the space station era, other skills are necessary. And so they completely widened what kind of people they wanted to be astronauts. They still look for pilots. Those are still really good skill sets. But medical doctors, engineers, scientists all have skill sets that are really valuable for the astronaut program. And I happen to be on the engineer route. I was an engineer for a space company, and I was designing the rockets and satellites and stuff like that. And I was I've launched and flew spacecraft. And so, fortunately for me, that was a skill set that NASA was looking for at that time. So that was my route.
So this is, where would we know your work from? What kind of rockets did you design? What stuff have you put in space?
Well, I joined a small rocket company back in the mid or late 80s, and there was a rocket called the Pegasus, which was very unique. It was carried into the air by an airplane, first a B-52 and then an L-1011 airplane. And so you have this relatively small rocket, but it's carried under the belly of an airplane. But when you fly that airplane up about 30,000 feet and you're going 500-600 miles an hour, it has a lot of energy already, potential and kinetic energy. And the other cool thing is you can point it any direction you want. You go out of the ocean, go out over the ocean, you can point it in any direction you want because it'll be safe. You won't be overflying people. It's a very unique and energy efficient way to put satellites into space. It was really amazing to be on the ground floor of that rocket program.
So is this an advantage or a disadvantage when you find yourself sitting on a space shuttle? Do you sit there and think, no, that's a normal noise, I know what that is, or do you fret more because you know how complex it is?
Yeah, well, I guess it's a little of both, right? The smarter, the more you know about it, the more comforted you are, as you point out, but then the more you know of things that can go wrong. So I think it's a complete advantage. I was very comfortable with how rockets work and how they're launched and what to listen for when launches are taking place or missions are taking place. And so for me, it was more comforting. I just felt very comfortable in the environment of, sitting in the rocket, understanding what's going on all around me, listening to the launch console and understanding what they're saying. And, I really felt like it was an advantage for me.
So when you're sitting for that first time, because obviously you will have spent an awful lot of time training, but there's still that first launch that you ever do. Can you hear the countdown? What access to information have you got when you're sitting there strapped in?
Yes. So we have communication caps on. We can listen to, and then they pipe in what's called the countdown net. But that's the it's called the launch conductor is going through the procedure of the launch, and we have small roles to play during the countdown. We do communication checks so everybody can talk to everybody else, and the pilot and commander have some switches to throw on the space shuttle during the launch countdown, and so we can listen to exactly what's going on during the countdown. And then, of course, once we lift off, then we're talking to Houston Mission Control.
Once the liftoff begins, how violent an experience is it?
Violent isn't really the right term. It is an enormous amount of force that is being generated by the rocket. But of course, the rocket is very heavy, and so you aren't thrown into the back of your seat, but you are. It feels like you're in the best sports car you have ever been in, and somebody just hits the accelerator, and you are pushed into the back of your seat. But what's amazing is that for the next 8 minutes, you are continuously pressed harder and harder into the back of your seat. You keep accelerating. And so if you enjoy those kind of forces, if you enjoy roller coasters or fast cars, stuff like that, it's exhilarating. It's what I found is I just can't believe that something so big like the shuttle and so heavy, like I know it weighs 4.5 million pounds on the launch pad, I can't believe the thrust is being created that can accelerate this thing so fast. And so it's certainly, attention getting. Things are shaking like crazy, but it's not so violent that you can't operate, that you can't think, that you can't see the control panel, understand what's going on, read your procedures. It's quite fun, actually, if you enjoy that kind of thing.
I'm just trying to do the maths here on that. Does that mean that the total kit weighs more than 2,000 tons?
In terms of tons, well, it's 4.5 million pounds. So I haven't done the tons conversion, but yes. So, you're 4.5 million pounds sitting on the launch pad. And then once you ignite the two solid rocket boosters and the three shuttle main engines, you're generating about 7.5 million pounds of thrust. So that's what gets you moving off the planet Earth, is that thrust to weight ratio, is what we would say.
And then when that stops, is it an abrupt switch, total silence, you're suddenly floating around, or is it a gradual arrival into orbit?
No, it's abrupt. There's two stages on the space shuttle. They have solid rocket boosters that operate for about 2 minutes, and that's a pretty rough ride. Then that's when you're really shaken. But then those come off after 2 minutes, and then for the next 6 minutes, you're on the liquid engines. That's very smooth. So now you're being pressed into your seat, but at the exact moment, exact millisecond, when you are going to the correct speed, the speed that it has been targeted for that mission, all the engines just turn, it turns off, and you are, at that moment, you go from 3 Gs, three times the acceleration of gravity on your body, to zero. And so now, I've been told that you're going to feel like you're being thrown out of your seat, and that wasn't the experience I had, because we're strapped into our seats very tightly with our seat belts. But your body can feel something is different. And a few like 10 seconds later, my pilot, Mark, was sitting in front of me, and he goes, "Hey, look at this." And he held up his launch procedure, and it started floating right in front of his face. And that was the first visual, like, wow, we're really here. So it happens immediately, just in an instant, you're floating in space.
So Dan, how do you go from having done that as the day job to just normal life? Like, how do you get up every morning and think, what's the point?
Well, being an astronaut's a fantastic job, and the sort of the cream on the top is getting to fly in space. And I in my 4 months of living on the space station, I remember waking up every day appreciating that I'm really there, and that I'm being given an incredible opportunity to work in space and help build the space station. And then you come home, and you get the big dose of reality when you come home, and you have to, wheel the garbage bin out to the curb, and you have to, you get to read to your kids, and you get to do all the stuff that is normal life, and you understand that that's really the real joy of life. I mean, it's been my perspective that being an astronaut's a real privilege, but it's a job. And what's more important to me is my family and enjoying sort of the mundane stuff of life. And so, I think it's attitude. You get to you appreciate the fantastic things that you've been able to do, but you also appreciate the fantastic things that you're called to do every day. Drive your kids to school, and go for a walk with your wife and all that stuff.
Now, part of this, I understand, is because you made the very wise decision to marry a Cork woman.
Yeah. Well, I say that, you know, after, you know, flying in space wasn't dangerous enough, so I thought I'd do something really death-defying. So married a cork woman. But anyway, no, that's been wonderful. And then, of course, having the extended family in Cork, it has fully embraced me. And, I feel very much a part of the Irish society there. I feel fully embraced by the Irish. And so it's a wonderful addition to my life.
Do you spend much time here?
Well, you know, we, of course, great and granddad are there for my kids. And so we visit as often as we can, probably twice or three times a year as a family. And I've been spending more and more time just on my own going to speak to schools and community groups about space, bringing the experience of space to Ireland, because I feel the kinship there. And so, yeah, we're trying to spend as much time as we can. Again, both family time and also sort of being an evangelist for space. And boy, there's so much interest in the Irish people, the Irish school children about space, and the talent that you have there in Ireland is unquestionable. And so I'm really excited about, opening some eyes about what space is like and how the Irish can be involved in space. Maybe, of course, I can't wait for the first Irish astronaut, but there are companies that can help build things that we use in space, and there are researchers that can, from the universities and other places that can understand how the human body reacts in space or how to make things better that we'll need to develop as we go to the moon and to Mars. So I really have been enjoying my increased amount of time in Ireland.
It strikes me, though, if you went for the Irish citizenship, you could grandfather us in post factum and become the first Irish astronaut.
That would be an honor. And if you have any connections into that process, I would certainly be happy to talk to anybody that would be interested.
That is Dan Taney, and or rather Dan Taney, I should say. And if you want to find out more about Space Week, as I say, it is spaceweek.ie is where you can get the information. And that's brought it to Ireland by MTU Blackrock Castle Observatory with the support of Research Ireland. And it's involving students both at secondary and at university level. And Dan is going to be leading a Space Week road trip around Cork, Kerry and Limerick from the 4th through the 7th of October. So if you want to find out more, you can just go on spaceweek.ie.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.